pure mathematician. I spent my entire life, and most of my life, in geophysics. And to say, yes, the climate's changing, you know, 100%. Okay. Well, it's like a man with a flashlight, right? We're only looking here for what man-made causes. They're not looking at the Earth's magnetic field changing. They're not looking at, yes, we're contributing to it, but how much? Until you say, I can't say, we're only looking at 100% for what man does, we're going to find 100% there, right? You've got to look at the other issue. I mean, the magnetic field is certain things. Is weakening in certain parts of the world. I mean, it just, what we have is we've got a core that's spinning and generates a magnetic field, that if you look at the sun, the sun's coming in, it's blasting through these rays, and you got this long tail out here. Well, every time that thing gets hot, that's like a magnifying glass. That's just coming right through and burning us. So yes, it should be invested. Yes, but this hysteria of, again, I call it the climatocracy. It's not my term, but I call it the climatocracy. People are making money off this. And it just, we need to, you know, let's science. There's a thing called, you ever hear of Kudos? Mertonian version of science?
I don't think so.
Okay, so Mertonian, he was a philosopher, a scientific philosopher. So science should be communal. Everybody should have access to the data. Everybody should contribute. It should be universal. Okay. Again, that's everybody should have access to the data, contribute, ideas, discussions. And the big one for climate change is D, disinterested. So CU, D is disinterested. Well, that's the trouble. There's so much money. You know, Al Gore made $100 million on climate change. Okay. And it should be organized skepticism. That's the other thing that's missing from climate change is organized skepticism. We need that. You know where the word devil's advocate comes from? You ever hear the devil's term?
I've heard the term.
Yeah, so it comes from the Jesuits. So before someone's canonized, being made a saint, I think it's typically a Jesuit, they say, okay, we want you to go and dig up all the dirt you can on this person to see if they really truly are a saint. And they're called the devil's advocate. Okay. So that's where that comes from. So yeah, those are, I know a little bit about climate change. When I've studied it, I've still got the journals. I follow it, and to be clear, Jordan Lundberg is one of my favorites. I think somebody you should read if you're interested in climate change.
What's the name?
Jordan, Jorn, space, Lundberg, LUNDBERG, or BERG. But if you Google it, you'll find it. He is more on this side of, yes, climate change, man-made, but more rational. And the other one is Judith Curry, and she's hands down my favorite. I love her stuff.
Okay.
So anyway, I've been talking your ear off.
Sorry. It sounds like your critique is not that there isn't a anthropogenic man-made component to climate change. It's that there's too much focus on that component, and that the scientists who are investigating climate change are kind of they're finding the thing they're looking for, and because they're not looking outside of that, they are missing other components potentially.
Yes,
right?
yes.
Okay. I've read a little bit of like the International Panel on Climate Change, IPCC.
IPCC, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I had trouble reading it. There are a lot of statistics that are above my head. And so I did have some challenges there. We probably don't disagree that there is some man-made cause. What convinces you that there is that over-focus on the man-made component, and what convinces you that there is inadequate skepticism when it comes to climate change science?
The fact that Judith Curry lost her job.
Okay.
And if you go back, and she was Chief of Geoscience at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is one of the premier scientific engineering and scientific schools in the country. It's MIT, Caltech, Harvey Mudd. Georgia Tech is definitely the top 10. No matter what metric you use, she ran geoscience. She's a brilliant woman. I read her stuff. And she lost her job because of it. There was so much money involved. And the shoutdowns, the personal attacks on people like her and Lundberg, and there's another guy's name. I can see his face. I can't. But like Greta Thunberg, a darling little, you know, young person. I think she's spectrum autistic. Or,
that's right.
I think she was used as a prop. She's not a scientist. She brought in a lot of stuff. She should raise some issues. I'd like to see these panels. Peter Mann, I think, is a fraud. His whole hockey stick, that was shot down. One of my favorite is another one. Nobody convinced me. It was East Anglia is a university in England. And they had some emails. And one of the emails that came out is, I'm not going to share my data with you because you're going to try to find something wrong with it. Okay? Hello? You know? That just like a giant red flag.
Yeah.
And so there was more things like that, and they try to shut these people down. They are being censored. I do believe they're being censored. They're worth being censored. Peter Mann and Peter Mann is the guy out of Penn State. Either Penn or Penn State. I think it's Penn State. And he wanted to basically just cut out anything that even questioned climate change, man-made climate change. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's definitely real. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. But no. Anyway, so you wanted to be a discussion, so I've been hogging the time, so I apologize.
So it sounds like there are bad apples, and you've identified some very specific cases where people have been either silenced or otherwise been kind of, you know, pushed aside. Are you sure that's representative? Can you tell that that's representative? Or is it possible that those are aberrations in a very large pool of maybe counter cases that would go in the other direction, where people are being heard, people are not being silenced, despite the fact that maybe there isn't consensus for the things that they're advocating?
So people that are looking at... So let's go back to the very beginning of this conversation. The people that are earnestly looking for the impact that people are having, you know, they're saying, okay, smoke is doing this is generating it. Those people are real, they're earnest. So I do believe that component is real. I definitely believe that component is real. What is not being given enough attention to, not enough money being into, is what are the other causes? I just read a paper this morning, yesterday, about holes in the magnetic field. I mean, that is... Those rays are coming in, heating things up, huge impact on it. So, kind of got off topic there. That is what convinces me is the treatment of Judith Curry, the treatment of Bjorn Lundberg. They're not being given the money and resource to investigate other issues. They're just, people just don't want to hear it.
Okay.
And I've seen it, and I've seen it in journals. I get Journal of Geophysics. I used to get Air Ocean Space, EOS. Earth Ocean Space, EOS. And that one was pretty rational for a while. But the ad hominem attacks on these people, you know,
like within the journal?
Yes. Some of the letters to the editor. I think they should have done a better job editing. The editors, their bias showed. And I did not, that's one reason. I just never read it after that. I mean,
gotcha.
Got okay. Tired of it. I mean, just, I'm retired now, so I'm an old man. So anyway,
okay, interesting. All right, so let me see if I can summarize a little bit. You're concerned that people are not focusing enough on non-anthropogenic causes. You note that there are some specific individuals. So I got Bjorn Lundberg, Peter Mann, Judith Curry, people who lost their job or were...
Peter Mann is the bad apple.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Peter, I think he's a jerk. He's been sued. I don't know. He has been sued enough.
Okay.
So I'm not a big... I'm a weasel, in my opinion.
Okay. All right.
The other two, I have tremendous respect for.
Okay. And then, so resources are not... Excuse me. Inadequate resources are being given to investigate the other causes. And let's see. And so is it the case that you think that the models right now are overly skewed or sort of almost, I don't know, somehow being weighted such that the anthropogenic causes are being blamed for change that's happening when it's not the real cause?
It goes back to the thing I said about a flashlight. I think they are being skewed. If you have a flashlight and I'm looking for this, that's what I'm going to find.
Okay.
You know, if I think about yellow cars, I'm going to see them all over the place.
Right.
It's what they're looking for. And yeah, so.
Okay. Let's say that you're right, and anthropogenic causes are maybe not all that they've been made out to be.
Right.
So I guess the question is, when it comes to what we have control over, it seems like anthropogenic causes are maybe one significant component of that.
Yeah.
Could it be reasonable to focus some attention on the things that we have control over?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I definitely, huge. I think the huge cause, Jeff, I definitely agree with cleaning the things up, cleaning up the ocean, thinking about these things, cutting down, this stuff we're spewing into the air, these coal plants for coal, you know, cleaning it all up. Yeah, I think that's, no, I'm 100% on board with that. The more we can do, that is one of the benefits of some of this zealous thing for being green.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to clean up a big mess. But and you got to look at the evolution of stuff is, we start down burning forests, right? You know, burn all this wood. Then it came coal, right? So we leave trees up. Coal's messing. We found oil and gas. Okay, no burning that. So nuclear. I'm a huge nuke fan. I strongly believe in nukes. So we're seeing the evolution. So things are changing. You know, so I definitely think that was one of the good things that's come out of this. We're all gonna burn. We got what they say. What did that person say? I shouldn't say things like that. What that person say was, misguided person say, we're going to be flooded in 12 years. Okay? That kind of nonsense. That just makes people panic. And it just, you know. Gotcha. So, yeah. So, gotcha. I do think that is one of the great things that's come out of it, is making people aware. And they need to be careful. I remember ethanol. The ethanol was the end-all and be-all. Now they're finding out. Now we can't get rid of it. Finding out it's actually worse to the environment. Yeah. Ethanol was going to replace gas. But now it's worse. We can't get rid of it because... I'm libertarian, but Republicans in Iowa, with Grassley, well, that's what Iowa makes, is corn, and that's what it goes to in ethanol.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get rid of it. It just, they have a vested interest in keeping ethanol going.
Interesting. And Grassley's been around for forever, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's 89,
yeah.
You know, I don't want to exaggerate. He's getting way up there.
Yeah, okay. Which gives him some seniority, but also probably, you know, he won't be there forever. So I imagine that state will not have as much pull at some point in the future.
Possibly, yes.
Okay, interesting. So I guess I'll just sort of tell you a little bit about my past thoughts on climate change. Again, I have no expertise in this area, really, but just to kind of give you where I've come from, in case it, I don't know, brings up anything in your mind that maybe would be worth sharing with me to educate me. So, again, no expertise, but I consider myself a pretty generally data-oriented person. I try to be. So I did undergo the effort of trying to read the IPCC reports. I've done that probably a couple times. For me, what it probably comes down to most is the sort of simple energy balance of, you know, if we've got more energy in the system than is leaving the system, then the system is growing in energy. And I guess there's a question as to what happens in a very complicated system when energy is added. And I am not qualified to really speculate on that. But I think when you have these systems that are now being, that are on a non-stable path, then you gotta at least ask yourself the question, what's going to be the consequence? Could this be harmful to us? So that's at a high level probably what causes me to at least have some concern, is that we've got a system that we're making less stable as far as I can tell, and so we want to think through the consequences of that and potentially mitigate them if the causes or the consequences are determined to be significant. With a complicated system like ours, it's hard to know what the effect will be. And it's one of those situations where I don't know if you've seen the Risk Cube before. Are you familiar with that?
The what?
Risk Cube.
R-I-S-K?
R-I-S-K. It's basically just a, I think, 5x5 grid where on one axis you've got likelihood of a risk. And on the other axis you've got impact.
Okay.
And so you kind of consider risks in terms of both their likelihood and impact. And even if you have something that's low likelihood, if the impact is high, then you still may want to, you know, give it some thought and consideration. And if you've got something that's high impact, other direction. If you got something that's low impact but high likelihood, you know, maybe you care if it's going to happen all the time and something like that.
Yes,
so,
yes. Yeah, thank you very much. You said a lot of really, really wonderful things in there. And I'm not going to interrupt. I need to let you finish.
Go for it.
Okay, so first off, I did research on most of my life. And that's what I used to tell is, I used to call it the penalty for failure. If, you know, running on the sidewalk, it was 2 inches off the ground, I'd run down the middle, no worries, had my headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
It's 50 feet off the ground, I guarantee you, penalty of failure, likelihood of shame of me falling over, right? But I guarantee you, I'm going to walk, I'm not going to run.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So we used to call it the penalty for failure. What's your penalty for failure? That you're right. So the probability, yeah, I completely agree with that. And that wonderful thought, I really like the question you ask, is it's a very complex system. That makes the problem really, really hard. Yeah, you know where chaos theory comes from? Lorentz.
I can't say I know where it comes from now.
Okay, so a guy named Lorentz was studying the atmosphere. Okay. And he ran this program, the computer at MIT. He's at MIT. Brilliant man. Lorentz equations and some other things he came up with. Anyway, came up with these equations, and he ran the program. And then so he had to stop the computer, so he printed out the numbers to, you know, floating point accuracy. A computer can only represent a finite amount of information. Mm-hmm. And then what he did is he rerun his starts where it picked up off of. This is back then, way back when, I remember. Anyway, he put back the numbers and he got wildly different results. I said, whoa here. So he went back and ran it again. And that's where chaos theory comes in. He started to investigate small changes in the initial state, mm-hmm. tremendous impact on the final state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, the butterfly flaps its wings. I don't think it's that dramatic, but yeah. It is a very complex system. People need to recognize that, and people offer simplistic solutions. It's all a mesh. Everything's interconnected. You touch it here, it's going to ripple out here.
Right.
As far as that goes, also, I can't counter your point about creating energy. The energy, the albedo, it's called the albedo effect, A-L-B-E-I-D-O, where, you know, so you're aware of this?
I've heard the term, but I'm not
sure. So what happens is how much energy is definitely coming. We're being bombarded mm-hmm. with energy. And the albedo is actually how much we reflect back.
Okay.
And that's where this greenhouse comes in, is what happens is the CO2 doesn't let it escape. Mm-hmm. So if you're standing in space, if there was no atmosphere, this is why Venus is so much hotter. So it's Mercury, Venus. So Mercury, which is much closer to the Sun, mm-hmm. is not as hot as Venus. Why? Because the energy coming in from the Sun, from Venus, can't bounce back out.
Okay.
And so that's greenhouse here. So you've got these gases here that are trapping the energy coming in, can't get out. So that's what CO2, the methane, that's all this stuff is coming from. So the issue that you brought up about we're generating all this energy, we're burning fossil fuels. The concern is that the CO2 that's generated, the gases, the sulfur, I'm not a chemist, H2SO4, actually sulfuric H2SO3, anyway, is trapping the energy, and that's why Earth is heating up. So I can't comment. That's a really good question. I don't know the fact that, okay, we're burning this stuff, we're kicking out heat. What that is. That is a great question, beautiful question. And if you got an email, I will look it up. I will ask my friends. I did a lot of work with from around the world.
Yeah.
So I will email them and I.
Right, well,
well played, man. Well played. Okay. I don't have an answer to that, and I need to ponder it. Because right after the sun kicks out, we're getting hammered. sun kicks out, yeah. I think we gain a couple pounds just in terms of pure energy.
Oh, that's interesting.
From the sun. Yeah, the sun is, we're, yeah.
I've never thought about mass gain associated with energy coming in from the sun.
Yeah, it's significant. And also, the Earth is, I mean, the rotation is changing. We're wobbling. And that right now, it's slow. The magnetic field is going to flip, and things are changing. And this rotation, the Earth is not just, you know, this beautiful thing spinning. No, it's going like this. I mean, it's going all over the place.
Yeah.
Some people once claimed, I don't know what the impact is and how true it is dams. You build a dam. Okay, when a ballerina puts her arms out, or they pull them in, they spin faster.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we've done is China. What they did, China is one of the worst, is they built these huge dams, which is moving a lot of mass from here to there. They're saying that impacted, and I have not researched this, I cannot give you if it's true or false, if you, somebody could call bullshit, pardon my language, sure. That it did have that, but that's going to impact the way how much they were spent. So the other thing that China did is, they have the same problem LA has. You're generating all the smog and smoke because you got cool here, warm here, and it can't get away. They're kicking all this stuff out, and it's blocked by the mountains. So what did China do? They move the mountains. They just erase the tops of those mountains. Oh, you've just changed the air current. You've just changed the way.
Yeah.
So these, you've changed the, like, I don't say the jet stream, but you've changed the wind currents and air. Mm-hmm. Literally changed the earth and
yeah.
how air moves. And I have no idea what impact. So if somebody said, okay, it's nonsense at 0.0001%, I have to believe. And somebody says it's 10%, I couldn't argue the point. But these are some of the things I've read. I do know that they have, it does, that will impact. Moving that much water to these dams will impact their spin. How much, I cannot comment. I do know that China, you know, they just leveled them out. They just said, okay, you guys are out. Everybody lived there. You guys leave, man. Okay. And they got rid of the smog problem. That's one way to do it. When in doubt, get bigger here. Okay, I will ask that question. If you give me an email, if you have an email.
Sure, yeah, I don't, let's see, I do have some paper there.
Yeah, so I don't carry my phone when I work out, so.
Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, let's see, anything else coming to mind? So that's my kind of high-level understanding of climate science, and I recognize that, the system is complicated. I think we both agree with that, and that, things could go probably any direction. things could go really far in a bad direction for humanity, things could maybe somehow get better. But my understanding is that with the models that we have now, as imperfect as they are, that it appears that if we continue dumping greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, that it will have some negative impacts on the environment and on human life.
Right. And that's, have you ever heard of RCP?
RCP.
You'll see it, RCP 8.5, Relative Concentration Pathway.
Okay.
And the one that the media jumps on, and this is, you'll find it, is they're jumping on RCP 8.5. And I think RCP, because these are generated by computer models.
Okay.
And that is the worst case scenario. Okay. They say, you know, all the glaciers are melting. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. That's coming from RCP 8.5.
Gotcha.
I think the like you in your graph here, the likelihood of that is like almost non-existent.
Gotcha.
I don't say non-existent. I should not spout numbers. I won't spout numbers. So that's the problem I have with models. So anyway, I brilliant question. You're asking great questions. So.
Appreciate that. Yeah, and I imagine we'll look back on today's models in 100 years and be like, oh, God, we missed a lot of stuff. But it's the best we have at the moment, and so I don't know how to make decisions without using models or something like that. I mean, I could just kind of like bury my head in the sand and say one day we'll have enough information to be really confident, but I feel like we can't just put off some decisions indefinitely because in this case the consequence might be too high. So you kind of got to go with what you've got.
And if we stay the models, some built-in assumption of the models is that we stay. That's why RC go out. So they come up with different models. Is who knows what new technology is going to come along. If they come up with new batteries, come up with a new way to make solar this or whatever, that's going to change. Because, again, we went from wood. If we'd stayed burning wood, we'd all be dead right about now. I mean, coal,
right?
If we stayed burning coal, and we stayed burning just oil and gas, and there's nuke, who knows what they're going to come up with. If they come up with fusion,
that'll be a game changer.
Yeah, total boom.
Yeah.
I mean, so a lot of these issues that people are panicking about. So who knows what? Obama was in office before that came out. Put that in perspective. Look at what's on that phone right now. Think about how much that has changed the world. And that just, boom. And technology just happened all the time. I remember the Wright brothers were 1914. When were the Wright brothers?
I'm not good with dates.
Say 1900. 100 years, we've gone from the Wright brothers, you know, actually in 60 years, from Wright brothers putting a man on the moon to now commercial space. I mean, so that fast.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of things. I think it will change. I think that will change. It's getting better. We're becoming more fuel efficient.
Yeah.
Lighter cars. We're not. Remember, you probably will remember the old muscle cars.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Catalytic converters came along. Okay, we got rid of those. So yeah, I got faith.
Yeah.